Hello and welcome to another episode of The Traveling Introvert. It is Career Conversation Day, and today I am very excited to be talking to Lindsay Dineen. And when I overthink it, I'm like, did I get that right? I'm not sure. But hi, Lindsay, how are you doing today?
Hi, I am doing so well, and you are perfectly pronounced it. You know, it's absolutely perfect. So you are great.
I had that moment of freezing up going, I just had this conversation. It would have been fine. It's fine. And the overthinking brain was like, no, it's not.
Totally understand. Been there.
So welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. And the first question that I ask everybody is, what does introversion mean to you?
Ooh, good question. So I think for me, what it is a processing that takes place more internally than externally. I tend to, not just me, but I'll speak to my own experience. I tend to process information and ideas and creative solutions on my own first, and then I like to share that information with others. I think a big part of introversion for me is being intentionally quiet and thoughtful in my own brain, in my own body, in my own heart, thinking through things and not necessarily processing out loud until I have already reached a conclusion, which I know is kind of a funny thing because I have a lot of wonderful extroverted friends who they're a little bit the opposite. They like to sort of process as they go, and that usually involves quite a bit of conversation with others. And I'm so different. I think through things before I tend to say them. And in terms of getting energy, I would say the other element of that for me, for as an introvert, is I do tend to recharge well by myself or with a few trusted friends. I know a lot of people who maybe are more extroverted get their energy from being around large crowds. I actually like being around large crowds, but I would still prefer to kind of be in my own world within that crowd, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's great. So you mentioned about recharging. What are some of your favorite things to do with recharging?
Yeah, for me, such a big element of that is reading a good book. I am obsessed with reading. I'm always listening to usually two audiobooks at a time. And then I'm listening to audiobooks. I'm reading good books through the library or whatever resource I can find. That's a huge component of recharging for me. Another thing that I really appreciate is being out in nature, going for a walk. It's one of those things that I kind of have to, maybe as an introvert, have to get up the energy to do because it feels like a lot of effort. But as soon as I'm out in nature, I think, oh, I needed this. So that's a big thing. And then finally, I would say taking ballet classes. Ballet is my happy place. It always has been a huge running theme throughout my life. And getting to take a class is probably the number one way I can recharge and feel that joy and connection with movement again.
And so this brings up something about leaving the house. There's an ongoing discussion in my household about what counts as leaving the house. So in your opinion, and this isn't the surprise question I was going to ask you, but it just came up. If you had to go to your car in the driveway, does that count as leaving the house?
That's a good question. For me, no, I can handle that.
Yes, another point for me. Okay, so with that in mind, you mentioned a ballet class is, and for you, like the ultimate way to recharge. Is that a ballet class alone or with others?
Ooh, yes, good question. And I actually, this is one of those scenarios where I would much rather take class with others than I would by myself. I can do it by myself, but there's something again about that energy of being around people and yet still kind of being self-focused. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just that you're so concentrated on your own movements and executing the technique correctly. And so for me, it's that kind of still being wrapped up in my own energy while at the same time being around other people who are passionate about the same thing. So Yeah, that's an interesting point. Definitely with others, but seems counterintuitive as an introvert.
Well, for me, the thought would be if taking the class alone, it means that the instructor can nitpick every little thing about my deportment. And I'm like, I'm not sure how badly I need that in my life at this stage.
Right. 100%.
Like, I'm not going to be a prima ballerina, so can I just do the class for fun rather than like you need to
Sure.
get to this level? That's my thought on it.
I love it. That's great. Perfect.
So, with that in mind, speaking about how you recharge, what do you do for work right now, and how does recharging help with that?
Absolutely. So I have had a very interesting career path. I've always sort of had two simultaneous trajectories. One has been I have had my career as a professional dancer. I've been a professional performer, teacher, and choreographer for years. I owned my own studio at one point. I had my own professional dance company at one point. So I got to do those wonderful things. And then, sort of simultaneous to that, I've also had my business brain activated and done a lot of business strategy and marketing, sales, business development, whatnot, and mostly for small businesses. So I've sort of always had those two career trajectories going at the same time. And now it looks different. It's kind of, some days they've merged, some days they're very separate. Right now, I'm working in a marketing leadership capacity for an organization here in the United States. I am also still pursuing dance, but more in a guest artist capacity. And then I have been recently starting to consult for dance organizations that are looking to either get launched or grow and scale. And so I'm very multi-passionate and I like to do a lot of different things. I'm not one to get bored. And so those three things are my primary focus right now, which is more than enough, I'll put it that way.
Do you find that you have to limit yourself in that way then?
In terms of the time that I spend,
Mm-hmm.
or
Yes.
yes, I think, it's been interesting to see how things have changed over the years. When I first started out, I was dancing professionally for a company. I was also doing those side kind of, marketing business jobs, and I was working 7 days a week, and it was exhausting. I mean, I never had a day off, basically. It was, oh my gosh. And looking back, I realized that that was a lot, is what I needed to do to get by at the time. And I'm thankful that I had the work ethic and the energy to support that, but there's no way I could do that now. I think at this point in my life, I've been able to better identify where I can spend my time and energy in ways that are renewing to me. And I found that when I can be in alignment with organizations or people or companies, whatever, that help bring me energy that are part of my, passion, things that are inspiring to me, I don't feel it's much of a time drain, and I don't feel that I have to limit it as much when I have that sort of reciprocal nature of being able to bring my best to a situation and switch gears between these different opportunities because they're life-giving to me.
How, if you can put it into words, how did you figure that out, that connection needed to happen for you to feel almost more energized by the work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably how a lot of people find it out, and that is by being in the opposite situation. And so for me, a few years ago, I went through basically a period of time where the not the dance jobs, but the side jobs, the marketing business jobs that I was undertaking, the clients I was working with were very, very difficult. And I mean, I could go as far, and it would be truthful as saying they were a bit toxic situations. And it became this kind of thing where it was so energy draining and it was so life sucking that I didn't feel I didn't feel excited to be alive, you know? Like I just didn't feel excited to be waking up in the morning, going and doing the things because it was just so draining. And I knew there was going to be a problem. What am I going to have to solve today? And it wasn't fun problem solving. It was like dealing with difficult people and difficult situations. And so I think for me, having had to go through that experience, and I'm thankful that I did, because what it helped me do is realize, okay, there are certain markers here that don't align well for me. One of those was ironically something that really fit as an introvert for this discussion, and that is I really work best independently. I really love working from home when I can do that. And that sort of not isolation, that sounds way too dramatic, but that sort of ability to have a little bit of space allows me to be my best and bring my best. And so I needed to start looking at environments that allowed me to have that space and allowed me to not be necessarily constantly have someone look over my shoulder or whatnot. If I can produce my best work, that usually means I need a little bit of space in order to do so. So there's just been a few factors. Of course, there's the personality blends, things like that. But one of the biggest things was being able to have a work environment that I controlled. And that for me is best done by being at home. And for other people, it would be other things. But that was a huge component for me.
Oh, thank you for that. And you also mentioned that you're sort of in a leadership role. And let's be honest, a lot of people are like, introverts, you can't be leaders. That involves peopling. So, with that in mind, can you tell me a little bit about the leadership role and whether you think leaders are born or made?
Oh, I love this question. I think that there are some people who are more naturally inclined to be leaders than others. I would hesitate to go so far as to say that they are born. I think that many people have the ability to develop leadership skills, but it is something that you have to work on. And I would say, I don't think I know anybody who, even though I would consider them to be a quote unquote natural leader, I wouldn't, those are the people that are actively working on their leadership skills. They're taking the classes, they're listening to the podcasts and the webinars, they are reading the books, they're actively putting in the work to become better and better at what they do and how to lead the people that follow them. So I think for me, leadership, and to your point, it's so funny because I actually very much do enjoy leadership, but the peopling part can be a little challenging at times. But at the same time, when you've surrounded yourself with good people who are in alignment on the mission and values of the organization and the team, and when you're able to bring a perspective of collaboration and not dictatorship. I mean, I don't think that's leadership anyway, but when you're able to bring that feeling of collaboration, that every voice matters, that everybody here has a seat at the table, and really help people feel appreciated, it's such a wonderful feeling. There's so much camaraderie that can be built. And it's almost so much so that it doesn't feel anymore like I am the leader. It's I am one of them. I have the final say. I guess I make the final decision, but I'm one of the team, just like everyone else. And we are all here to make a difference and to move the mission or the organization or the prerogative forward.
With that said, is there something you mentioned that our leaders are always working on their craft, essentially. A lot of leaders or people who are put in leadership positions start off as very good individual contributors and then get put in a leadership position and almost in a sink or swim situation. What, when would be the best time, in your opinion, for someone who's looking to get into leadership or feels that they might be pushed into leadership to start looking at how to gain those skills?
Yeah, yesterday. No. But as soon as possible, in all seriousness, because that was a big thing that I was hoping for at some point in my career, but didn't know when that would happen, when I would be presented with that opportunity or take the opportunity. And so for me, I was because I was interested in it and knew I needed the skills to be able to support a good leadership foundation, I was very proactive in, like I said, reading books, listening to podcasts, doing interviews with leaders that I respected. I mean, very informally, of course, but and then getting mentorship along the way with, again, leaders that I respected, that I felt were great for their people and for their organizations. So I really think that for any individual who's interested or feels that they might be compelled to be in leadership at some point, just start right now. There's so much wonderful information out there that can help you to grow those skills, to even test those skills. It is 100% worth doing. And then you're a lot of it you're going to have to learn as you go along. Once you're in that role, you're going to make some mistakes. We all have, we all do. But having that foundation is a really good start.
You mentioned talking to people and in interviewing, quote unquote, interviewing leaders that you admired. How did you get those interviews?
Yeah. So, again, it's so interesting because for being an introvert and peopling can be hard sometimes, I very, very much love being able to have in-depth one-on-one conversations with somebody. And early on in my career, I was fortunate enough with several of the organizations I was working with to meet various leaders in the community, whether they were involved in nonprofits or were involved in my own organizations that I was a part of or whatnot. But I got the chance to meet them, and I've never been shy in terms of asking people for a favor. I think a lot of times what holds us back is we're too shy or we're too intimidated or embarrassed to ask the question. And so many times, the answer to that question for assistance or for mentorship or whatnot is going to be yes. I mean, very rarely is it no. And even when it's no, it's very rarely no, not ever, for the rest of my life, go away. There's often opportunities for the, and people want to help. I think more often than not, people really love to help when they identify somebody who is young and eager and wants to just absorb like a sponge. They go, oh great, yes, like let me help, let me see what I can do. And so I think for me it was a lot about just asking. It was saying, hey, I really appreciate what I've seen about the way that you lead. Would you be willing to sit down and have a conversation with me? And most of the time they said yes.
So was that so to me that sounded like an in-person ask. Would you recommend doing that
Yes.
via email as well?
Yes, 100%. There's my husband makes fun of me all the time because I'm always saying, send the email, send the email, because I am such an advocate for that. It's such a great way to have a first introduction. You never know what just asking somebody will do for you. So yes, I will 100% advocate for that too.
Okay. And along those lines, can you tell me something that you do regularly or at least semi-regularly that has improved or contributed to your success?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I would love to. I think there are many things that have contributed to success over the years, but I think the number one biggest thing is having a growth mindset. And that just means that I am constantly willing and eager to learn and grow and explore. It means that I don't view failure as the last thing, the end, we're done. It means I view failure as a stepping stone to, oh, that didn't work. Let's try something else. And it means that I'm not afraid to make mistakes. I don't like making mistakes. I don't like failing, obviously, but I'm not afraid to make a mistake because it's just part of the journey. It's just part of the learning experience. It's telling me, well, that didn't work. Let's try a different tactic, or let's try a different approach. So I think having a growth mindset, not feeling stuck, not knowing that I'm not stuck, knowing that I have the ability to continue to grow and learn and explore and adapt is such a huge thing for me. And I think along those lines, another big component of that is, there's this saying that when you know better, you do better. And I think there's a lot of grace, should be a lot of grace for us as we look back on our lives and go, oof, I don't like that patch, or ugh, I shouldn't have made that decision. Yeah, that might be true, but if you can give yourself the grace to know that you were doing the best you could within those circumstances, and now you know better, and so now you can do better, that's such a freeing thing that allows us to really keep moving forward and not hold ourselves in the past. So I would definitely say that. And then honestly, I'm very gritty. I'm very tenacious. I'm a bit stubborn when it comes to it. I'll be real. I'm a finisher. I very much appreciate the opportunities to get to have that finish line come up, to be able to meet and exceed goals that I set. Like I said, I'm a bit stubborn that way. I'm very passionate about trying something for as long as I can possibly make it work. And then again, if it doesn't work, okay, it's a learning experience. I can move on. But having that grit to be able to get through the very difficult times, the times where you're just like, I just want to throw in the towel and be done with this whole dang thing. Coming back to your why and your mission and sort of your internal purpose is really helpful in those circumstances, but having the grit to get through it, I think those are big components of it. Yeah.
Thank you. And last question. In your opinion, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, the classic. I really struggle with this. I feel like technically it should be, but I just can't get past it. So I'm gonna have to say no.
Okay, that's fair. Thank you so much. Well,
Course.
it's a great question. Everyone's kind of like, wait, what? So with that, it has been a real pleasure to talk to you. Can you please tell the wonderful listening audience where they can find out more about you and what you do so they can go look you up?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you for that. So yeah, so you could definitely find me on social media, on LinkedIn. If you search for my name, I should hopefully pop up for you. And then on social media, I'm at Lindsay Dineen Official. And then you can also visit my website, which is currently undergoing a little bit of a re of a makeover, but it's still there. So lindsaydineen.com. And if you're interested in any free resources for marketing tips or whatnot, marketingwise.guru, I contribute to that blog as well. So if you need any help as a small business owner, feel free to stop by there too.
All right. Thank you so very much. That was great. So, everyone, this is Janice at The Career Introvert helping you build your brand and get hired. Have a great rest of your week.